recording.
Okay.
So. I am recording.
Mid AI change powerlifting. Sorry, go on.
Hang on, is that a thing? Or is that all we're going to talk about as well? have I missed something? Online?
Okay. I just wanted to make a weird robot voice. I'm sorry.
Okay, I understand. I've just opened up the note where I like scribble a show intro, you know, like altogether too late when I should have done this ages ago.
Every time.
And I don't know what I'm gonna put in it. So any ideas you've got?
Well, why don't we just I'll open it up with the whole Yuri Belkin misogyny thing. Then we can maybe dip into this whole absolutism thing with people still kind of thinking that certain training approaches are of more or less value just because they don't understand it or that it's a change from what they currently do. Is that a good place for us to start? And then we can just unravel it from there. Does that sound like a good...
It sounds great. What do I put in here though? Are you just going to freestyle?
Yeah, fuck it.
Okay.
Yeah, so just
do it live.
give me the normal frame and then I'll just I mean, I normally kind of freestyle it anyway, man, but yeah.
That is true. Bryce, remember you at a certain point you have to see and I am Bryce Krawcheck.
Right.
It's right after I'm Alex Pearson Jones.
Okay. All right, let's roll. Hello and welcome to the Buy One 8 podcast with Alex and Bryce. I'm Alex Pearson Jones.
And I'm Bryce Krawcheck.
This show is about powerlifters, but not just about powerlifting. Each week we discuss the experience of lifters as it relates to the sport and our lives as a whole. Sometimes these talks confirm our biases and sometimes they do not. So this week, we're going to introduce a new section. We're just going to kind of dip in and talk about the general current news in the powerlifting world and different things that have gone on. Both me and Bryce have had a relatively similar experience, but in kind of separate context recently, about the apparent prevalence of absolutism and misogyny within powerlifting. So I don't want to make this into like a huge, huge deal, but I also think that we have to kind of address this, especially because this thing that we're going to talk about is particularly close to my heart, and like I kind of know what was going on in the context of the situation. So I'm not going to name the victim in this situation, but a very good female deadlifter and powerlifter from the UK was shared on two King of the Lifts, and probably one of the best deadlifters in the world, Yuri Belkin, decided to comment and basically infer that the only reason the post made it to where it was because she was an attractive female from, you know, from an angle that he liked, basically, and who was trying to kind of be derogatory and flirtatious and take away from her actual achievements. And for context, she pulled a double above the current world record in her weight class for the deadlift. And I can't remember the exact comments, but Yuri made a comment something like, if you keep filming from this angle, we'll keep sharing it, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I think this is especially important because it wasn't just some random internet troll with like a private account who was like nobody. This is somebody who myself up until that point, and myself included, really, really looked up to Yuri as, you know, a really prominent lifter. He's done it for a really, really long time. He's technically a very, very good lifter, and he holds a lot of like weight, and you know, his voice carries a lot of weight within the powerlifting community. And I just thought it was a real, not only was it a shame, but it also felt particularly bad that like even now, even at that sort of level, this sort of stuff still goes on. And I mean, I'm kind of aware that I'm a little bit too close to it emotionally to give it any real huge amount of clout or credit, but the reason that I wanted to talk about it today is it seems particularly prevalent in some kind of slightly more old school lifting that you also kind of experienced, Bryce, more recently. Not directly necessarily, but yeah. You made a YouTube response to Ripito being reasonably misogynistic and reductionist with some things.
Yeah, so I mean, just to weigh in on the whole Yuri thing, like, let's not, I mean, maybe not throw out the window the fact that like he competed in the IPF until he got busted for cheating and then got switched, right? Like, I think that's one of the things that for whatever reason, him as an athlete, because he's so good, seems to just get like a total pass on that. Like, nobody cares. Nobody ever brings that up. Nobody, you know, puts any weight on the fact that like he probably cheated in the IPF until he got caught, which to me is like, I don't know, maybe that's something, whatever.
You could definitely make the moral fiber argument there, right? You could definitely say
it's an indication anyways. I don't know. Like, I know there are people who have, been, you know, busted for cheating here in Canada who I thought and still maybe think to some extent are like pretty good dudes. You know, I think sometimes there are a lot of extenuating circumstances and et cetera, but I do think that that plus this kind of establishes a bit of a firmer argument that like, I don't know, maybe he's just not that good of a dude despite being an excellent lifter. I mean, those two things are not, somehow always overlapping, and in some cases it might even be necessary that those two things are mutually exclusive in some cases, right? I don't know.
I think the reason this is bothersome, the reason this kind of behavior is bothersome when it comes from someone who is eminent in the sport and has a lot of clout, is not because we were all thinking that Yuri Belkin was some paragon of like feminist like idea, like, you know, we weren't thinking that like this was the guy we were looking up to in terms of like progressive politics. It's just I think the word for it is it's a permission structure. Like, if Yuri Belkin is cheating in the IPF until he gets caught, then that to some extent makes you feel like it would be okay if you cheated in the IPF until you got caught. And if you see Yuri Belkin being a fuckboy online and, you know, it's like diminishing these the accomplishments of female athletes by reducing it purely to a conversation about their appearance, then that also to some extent gives you permission to do so if you have a particular way of looking at these things.
Yeah, and it's troublesome, I think, because it normalizes those things, right?
Yeah, and I think there are a lot of trolls that probably used Yuri Belkin as something of a human shield online after this happened. And I don't know. I felt like, the generally speaking, the world was moving forward with this whole thing, and just to see something like that just kind of disheartens me somewhat.
And I mean, I don't know if that's indicative of like a sliding back of progress and whatever. I mean, I don't, again, we're three dudes talking about misogyny. So like, our insight is definitely limited. Like, there's no way around that. Right. But I mean, one thing that on this topic that I found really eye opening was, have you guys seen the account You Look Like a Man, it's called?
Yeah.
So I kind of came across that, I don't know, somehow a while ago, and I spent like a good chunk of my evening the one night, and then still to this day get sucked into the stories, just like looking at the experiences of women who put just like lifting footage on the internet, and people just act like total animals and idiots about it. And it was eye-opening for me as somebody who puts themselves in the public eye quite a bit and goes, you know, I go out of my way to put my face and my body on the internet, and I've never ever dealt with any of this shit. You know what I mean? Like, it was mind-boggling to me to open that door and look in and be like, holy shit, like this stuff really does happen. And to me, like, it was a bit of a revelation, and I don't think that I'm not ignorant to it. I just, like, the lack of experience that I've had of anybody really, like, I had one comment about my body one time when I did a cut and somebody said I looked like a lunch lady or something like that. But like, I don't know, that was me showing my body and saying, look at my body, here's what my body, blah, blah, blah. Like, here's me in my underwear. But like, a lot of these women are like lifting in just completely normal fitness attire, doing a bench press or something. And like, dudes are just coming into the comment section to either like offer unsolicited advice or like comment on their physiques or like the before and after photos of people being proud of their progress, I think is a really prominent place where you see a lot of this. They're like, oh, I like the before picture afterwards, or don't get too bulky. And it's like, nobody fucking asked for your opinion, dude. Shut up.
Yeah.
But anyways, to bring it back home here, I just was very surprised to see the kinds of things that you know, women have to deal with on the internet regularly. And in a lot of cases, as somebody who's not even necessarily as exposed as me, you know what I mean? It's just the, by the simple fact that I'm a man, people don't like resort to those kinds of comments, those kinds of critiques, and that kind of stuff nearly as much. I get a lot of hate and whatever, but it's very rarely about, you know, my body, the way I look, or like sexualizing me or whatever. You know, it's just, it's really different out there. And I think that for a lot of people, I think a lot of people don't really like see that or understand it or acknowledge that that's a very real thing, or that that's the reality.
I think the, you touched on a really, really good point, which is the whole like unsolicited advice thing that I think seems to happen a whole lot more just if you're female for whatever reason. And you know, you even see this on like world-class female athletes where like the dude commenting literally benches like half of what, you know, the person that they're commenting on says, and they're like, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't arch, it's bad for your back, or, oh, you know, you couldn't do that without an arch or whatever. And it's like, dude, seriously, who are you? But also like who's like, it almost feels like justification of themselves a lot of the time. I always kind of read back on it and I'm like, why isn't the dude who arches loads and loads outside of like the extreme folks, like Owen might have had a few of these comments in terms of like, oh, you know, that's not a range of motion, that's not a real bench press, whatever. But it's like, it's a sport, you know? And I think this is one thing that a lot of people fail to understand. And if anyone listening thinks that just because you can bench press in the gym, that doesn't make you a coach and it doesn't give you the right to give people unsolicited advice on powerlifting technique in particular.
Even myself as a coach and as somebody who's like coached lifters to IPF Worlds, like I still don't and shouldn't go on to people's posts and offer unsolicited advice. Like despite my advice generally being very sound and something that a lot of people seek out, I still don't and shouldn't go onto people's posts and be like, oh, you know, if you narrowed your stance, you'd be like, I don't know. Just, it's just like one of those things that if you're not asked for it, then like, maybe it's not constructive to offer it.
I think like at the point of like a world record bench press, you know, done by a female athlete, and then there are guys in the comment section trying to fix her form, it just becomes like vaguely comical. Like just, you have to be lacking so much self-awareness for that. But like one of the more insidious and aggravating sides of this kind of discourse is the implication that like cases like the one we started out discussing that was posted on King of the Lifts, people will say things like, well, she wouldn't have filmed from that angle if she didn't want this kind of attention. And not, you know, not even getting into the fact that Yuri Belkin himself films his deadlifts from a very similar angle.
But comparisons of the two,
Not even getting into that. The reason that that I at least refuse to engage with any of those arguments is because I don't think I've ever heard one of those arguments made in good faith. Meaning I don't ever think I've heard someone say that kind of thing who I felt actually was like saying something they believed in, you know, like, and trying to persuade me to their point of view. It always reads to me like someone seeking a permission structure to keep acting the way they do and believing the things they do. But this whole arching bench is bad for your back and women lifters like need to wear more, like I swear we have been having these conversations since like before I was born, you know. It feels like such ancient history that does not go away. So my question to both of you guys is, if we're talking about things that need to stop in this sport, why is this kind of thing, like, why hasn't it just stopped?
That is a huge question, because I think it's multifactorial. And I think there are a couple of factors that probably play into it that we can't even begin to touch on. I would not feel comfortable talking on it because I'm not educated enough and definitely don't have an in-depth enough understanding. But there are definitely some societal norms. There are definitely some things going on here that are probably traditional things that have probably only started to change in the last 10, 15, 20 years about societal roles of men and women, which I think is probably playing something of a role. Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely the idea of, and in some cases, well, it's, I suppose it's a physiological thing that goes on to a degree where, 130 kilo dude who's overweight goes into the gym and also has a social media profile and he's absolutely gigantic and can just bench 80 kilos first time stepping in the gym. And therefore he feels like he knows more than an incredibly qualified female powerlifter who's a third of his body weight benching the same amount of load. Not that that's an excuse in any way. I think that's probably something that happens because men and women are physiologically different. For some reason, the bench press has become a particularly bad culprit for it, probably because people see something that they don't really understand. And they think, oh, bending your back is bad in some way. Because I think that's genuinely a thing. I think people think that if you have any sort of flexion or any sort of massive extension in your back, that's suddenly going to be terrible for you. That like your discs are going to explode and the jelly donut's going to squirt everywhere. And as a powerlifting coach and somebody who thinks about lifting weights a lot, I never thought I'd have to deal with like the political BS mm-hmm. that exists in the world. So I think that's what really like annoyed me when this stuff happened, because I was like, that was a great set of deadlifts. Why couldn't it just be put on the internet and shared on King of the Lifts and be like, holy shit, you just doubled more than the world record in a farm outhouse with some concrete like plates, you know, that you've had to make for your barbell, which is literally the situation that this girl's in. So yeah, they're my points. That's my two cents.
Yeah. I mean, I think again, like it points to larger societal things, much like you said there, Peach. And I think that also, like as a result of a giant influx in the amount of participants in powerlifting, it's changed very much the structure and the norms. And I think as much as anything, it's almost kind of growing pains of figuring out, okay, like, you know, when I started lifting my first meet, and this is purely anecdotal. You'd have to kind of look at the actual stats of men versus women competing in powerlifting to get a clear picture of this. But my first meet in 2012 and my first maybe couple meets in 2012 and shortly thereafter, there were very, very few women lifters. And I think that if you look at how many men and women have been competing since earlier, in 2012 is by no means early powerlifting, but earlier to now, I think we have seen a bit of a shift, if not a big shift, in terms of the number of women participants in powerlifting. And I think as a result of that, things have had to change in some cultures, some groups are better at dealing with that change and understanding it in the context of, you know, a sort of, I don't know, moral language or understanding. And others haven't, and others are stuck in their ways and, you know, refuse to change. I think that hopefully as a whole, we are getting better. You know, on the average, I would say most people are pretty respectful, but definitely these sort of cases get a lot of attention, and probably rightfully so, because it's not like they're not happening anymore. I would like to think, and again, I don't have data to back this up, but I would like to think that there are more people than not who are respectable and act in an acceptable manner, either online or in person at the gym. But yeah, it's definitely not something that's like fixed.
I do think that Open Powerlifting has shared a load of statistics about participation in powerlifting recently, which I'm just going to really, really quickly pull up here on Instagram. But I do think that the case of growing pains is definitely something. And I mean, even thinking about when I started lifting, probably 2008, 2009, like in that short window from then till now, relatively speaking, I have definitely seen it go from a massively male dominated environment to something more of an even split. However, there's still this like, depending on the gym that you go to, and I think some gyms are definitely worse than others, and you know, environment obviously plays a huge role, but I definitely think that there is a still an undertone of like, oh no, the free weight section is for a certain, you know, is like the old school adage of like, oh, men do this and women do this type thing, mm-hmm. which, you know, was probably still around when I first got into the fitness industry 10, 12 years ago, like very first started training and that sort of stuff. And I think from that point of view, that's crazy. And to see the amount that it's changed in, you know, a relatively speaking short window of time, is great, I think. I'm just trying to find these men versus women in terms of participation in here, but it's definitely starting to grow on the female side of things.
I think I saw some stats, whether it was just in Canada or just in the USAPL, but I think at one point in the last few years, it was overwhelmingly female. So there was, you know, average meets were 54% female, or slightly more than 50-50. But yeah, I think the like a higher participation and higher representation is definitely a good thing, and hopefully will lead to, you know, having more of these conversations and dealing with more of these things.
Samuel, I feel like you're going to have some thoughts on this.
I'm going to have some thoughts on what, Peach? Go on, tell me.
Well, I've been to a lot of meets, and I've been around sport a really, really long time, but you have been to probably more meets than both of us. And you've probably been around the sport of powerlifting at most meets between kind of 2018 and now. So kind of in the last 2 years.
That doesn't mean I was paying attention, but please continue.
Well, what I'm trying to think is like, have you noticed a large-ish shift in the kind of 2 years? Like, I feel like the growth of powerlifting in these last 2 years has probably been pretty big, at least here in the UK. Have you kind of started to see a shift in terms of the female participation and just generally numbers of women in the sport of powerlifting?
Not in the time that I've been... you know, going to all those competitions that no longer happen. But that's because it was in a very short space of time. What I have done in that time is interview a lot of people who have been lifting longer than me and heard what they had to say on an anecdotal level. Someone that springs to mind is Tony Cliff, who's been lifting for 20 years. And he reported that when he started lifting, there were no women in the sport and they had competitions in pubs and prisons. So obviously in that regard, we have like an uptake in, you know, a positive uptake in participation. But like, I feel like this... I have a lot of thoughts about this, but like every time I try and voice one, I become scared that I'm like speaking on behalf of a female lifter, you know, without actually having their experience, you know? So I don't know if I'm going to leave any of this shit in the episode. but I feel like what you just alluded to, Peach, about how powerlifting culture and broader gym culture are kind of inextricably linked, right? I think that's like a pretty good way of looking at this because like the gym is definitely like still a place that has a slightly like, that has a bit of a gender issue, you know? And like you said, there's this somewhat prehistoric notion that like, well, the weights, that's where like the boys hang out and like the, I don't know, whatever the fuck else, cardio, like those big balls, like that's where the ladies hang out, you know? There's like mats and stuff. I don't even know what's going on over there. But like, and it's, you know, it's bullshit, but it, you know, the only reason that we can all laugh about this thing that I'm describing is because we are all vaguely aware that this does kind of exist. And that means that most female lifters have at one point or another done something that could be considered courageous, which is going into the weight section and start to fuck around with weights. And some female lifters will have had an easier time with that than others, but they will have done that and then continued to do that, you know, day after day until eventually they start to pull like world record doubles in their backyard, like this lifter that we were talking about.
And you know? Actually, go on, man.
I was going to say all of that probably despite having at least one negative interaction with a dude, either offering advice or like making some inappropriate comment as a result of them, you know, coming into the free weight section or whatever.
Yeah. We could not help but underestimate how actually exhausting and annoying this is for female lifters. You know,
I don't think I've ever had a conversation like with a female lifter about this who hasn't had some kind of interaction like that.
Mm-hmm.
With Suzanne, when she came on and spoke to me and Owen, Suzanne Daniel too, check out the episode. She spoke about a guy when she was kind of first training for powerlifting. She was just benching in the gym, and a guy literally straddled her on the bench to help her re-rack it. And she was a bit like, dude, what the fuck? Like, A, I didn't ask for it. And B, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, why is that okay? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think the, like, often kind of like the question or the thought that should run through any dude's mind who's trying to be helpful here is like, would I do this if this was like a 300-pound jack dude? You know, if yes, then maybe offer your help. If no, then maybe like, you know, ask if you think it might be appropriate and give them a valid opportunity to say no, thank you. Yeah. Like, but really, like, you're really going to straddle someone like benching who's not even struggling? Like, what on earth is going on? And I think because of like Suzanne's nature and, you know, the way that we were having that conversation at the time, like she kind of joked around about it and thought it was okay. But like, that's because it probably happened to Suzanne, you know, like what if that hadn't have been somebody who was maybe going to stand up for themselves a bit more or whatever. And that's just kind of like,
that person could have left the weight room and never come back, and it would have been a totally reasonable course of action. And then Suzanne Daniel would not be pulling world record deadlifts, would she?
Right. Like, yeah, it's, I don't know. I just think, like, I often wonder to myself, like, would you have asked this same question had it, like, not been a 21-year-old, 52-kilo female, and it had actually been 120-kilo, 30-year-old bearded dude? You know, like, are you going to do the same thing? Because, like, you kind of have to ask yourself, like, is that really, you know, if you're wondering, Bryce, I would totally straddle you to save your life, though.
Thank you. That's good. That was going to be my next question, is what would you do if it was me? And I had a really patchy, shitty beard and bad grammar haircut and tattoos all over my body. And my gut was hanging out a little bit under my shirt because I set up my arch that way. So I was going to say, I think that like this, you know, like Samuel was talking about earlier, is it's this like interesting sort of paradox of those who seem to maybe know seem to sort of espouse the most seeming or like what they feel like is wisdom. And I think that kind of ties into that whole sort of, I guess, rebuttal that I had for Mark Ripito.
I'm glad we're talking about this.
Yeah, this is literally where I was going to go with it. So, do you want me to kind of introduce the what kind of happened? So, Mark Ripito, starting strength. He has a YouTube channel and kind of posts relatively frequent content from. I actually hadn't really followed it until you made the response video.
I hadn't seen it till that day either.
But he's clearly putting out a lot of YouTube content, and I think one thing that's worth noting, much like when. I think it's worth noting that there is some sort of respect that needs to be paid to Mark Ripito and starting strength and what he did for the powerlifting community and strength sports in general. Mm-hmm. And to a degree, allowing powerlifting as a sport and as a regime for exercise to happen. I kind of want to say that because I think, you know, a lot of people have read the book, and I don't think generally speaking, I don't think he's a net negative for the sport of powerlifting.
Yeah.
But I think that there are a few things that are worth addressing. And in this particular clip that's not particularly long, he basically kind of goes on a tirade about why RPE is useless. And there's a lot of derogatory inference towards women. Mm-hmm. He's basically very misogynistic throughout this video, and he basically also is kind of saying that it's just a way for people to not lift as much weight as if it was programmed, and I guess etc. You know, I think you make a lot of really, really good points in your YouTube video, which I kind of would encourage the audience to go and watch if you haven't already. But I think there are particularly bad things that are coming off here. And I think for me, having watched Mark's video after seeing the title of yours and then going and watching yours, I think a few things that kind of need to be highlighted are that I think he's kind of like at a peak in Dunning-Kruger. Like he just hasn't attempted to forward his own education. And because he's reached some level of success within the sport of powerlifting, which nobody could deny, you know, he sold a whole bunch of copies of his book, etc. Like, that doesn't mean that you're entirely correct on everything. And there's a degree of kind of like poliquinisms is the only way I could describe it. If anyone came up in the fitness industry in the 2000s, like he's chatting about himself on a lot of these videos as if he's a guru, as if he can just say things and that's right because he said it.
Talking about Mark Repetto?
Yes.
Yeah, he's on the one video per day YouTube beat, which just on an aesthetic level, I think if you're a guy in a t-shirt in front of a microphone uploading a video of you just talking like once per day, it's just it's a little sus. But Pete, do you want to tell us what the Dunning-Kruger effect is?
So the Dunning-Kruger effect, I'm going to mess this up, but I actually listened to a podcast with one of the two doctors of psychology who kind of founded the Dunning-Kruger effects. Anyway, really interesting. That's you're not so smart. But he basically, him and his partner, I'm guessing Dunning and Kruger, but it might have been two different professors.
Name a more iconic duo.
it's basically the phenomenon that a small amount of knowledge allows the kind of beginner to think that they know everything. And then you kind of drop off in the middle of this kind of, it's an inverted U, if you think about it, where a small amount of knowledge makes you think that you have lots of knowledge. And then you kind of begin to realize how much you don't know. And then over time, it kind of levels out and you begin to, you're aware of what you don't know more so, and your level of knowledge actually gradually begins to increase. Now, this doesn't, in my opinion, or the way that I kind of think about this, is not just one timeline for someone. I think these spikes and peaks happen naturally throughout someone's career in given subjects. Even within the broader subject of powerlifting, you might start to stumble upon one small caveat of, like, I don't know, velocity-based training, and you start to learn about it, and then suddenly you're experiencing the Dunning-Kruger when it comes to velocity-based training or whatever the small thing might be. And I think with this whole Repetto situation is he's looked at and is smart enough to see the sport of powerlifting for what it is these days, and I think he's kind of gone, well, that's not what I know, and he's tried to kind of crush it and be like, fuck this is all BS, this is like not correct, how could somebody use something like this, like they're just not trying hard enough, etc., etc. And I think he's kind of, with his own arguments, he's actively deconstructed exactly why it's useful, which is what I found most bizarre about the video itself. Because he's kind of said, like, well, it allows you to not lift like heavy enough, and it lets you to lift less weight when you're not feeling good. And it's like, but the exact same argument on the other side is the complete opposite. Like, so what if you feel great and the weights that were programmed were too light? Like, that's probably going to happen an amount similar or comparably to not feeling good enough to do the program weights. So I think there was that huge kind of red herring within his like argument. The one thing that I didn't understand though was some of the ways that he described certain things about not trying hard enough and about, like, what was the quote that he used? I think it was like huge cantaloupe sized balls or something like that, wasn't it? Which just seemed completely like irrelevant. Like, I wouldn't have minded that argument quite as much if he kind of said, in my experience or from what I've seen, you can feel terrible on training day and still perform well. You know, that's where RPE might fall down, which, like, you know, earlier on in my training, like I did kind of relate to that, because I'm sure you've had sessions similar. Like, when you're kind of coming up in the sport, you have had sessions where you feel terrible and you still PR. But that's kind of like that happens and you kind of continue to progress all the way up until you actually are in a range where you could accurately gauge an RPE through factors other than just how it feels, right? Which is kind of what happens with things like video, and when you're a more experienced lifter, they're just natural phenomenon that you experience generally.
I mean, I think the biggest thing that was just glaringly obvious was that he doesn't understand RP. And I think at the heart of his argument is like, well, if I don't understand this and I haven't had success with it and I can't seem to use it right, and well, I'm the best coach I know, so like, how could anybody else? Like, if I can't understand this, then there's no way your lifter can. And I think he took a shot at, some of our commenters seemed to think he was shooting right at Barbell Medicine, like talking about how RP is designed to sell templates and stuff. I thought it was kind of more a shot at the powerlifting sort of coaching racket as a whole.
I mean, one little bit of tea there is the two Barbell Medicine guys and Alan Thrall all used to work for Mark Ripto, were employed in some way as like course shooters for Starting Strength. Yeah. And then the three of them left and kind of started doing their own thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know any of this. I don't know about their relationship whatsoever, but there might be something in that.
But Ripto doesn't seem like the kind of guy who has a lot of like amicable splits.
Right.
I mean, so again, like I'm gonna sound like I do like I don't really think that like Ripito is a sweet dude, but I also want to sort of double down on the disclaimer or the caveat that, you know, like obviously, you know, him being a curmudgeonly old man does not illegitimize all of the good that he maybe did earlier on in his career, all of the, you know, probably good intentioned work that he did to try to get barbells in people's hands. And I by no means am trying to, like, you know, illegitimize him as a whole. I guess the core of my message in my video was basically like, okay, like let's move on. You know, that's a great place to start. He's gone from here to like way the hell over there. So let's just move on to like other better sources because they exist. Here's a giant list of them. You know,
broken clock is right two times a day. But so Bryce, what was it that like about the language that he was using that got you so kind of activated?
So I think there were a few things. Like there were a number of people in our Discord community, a number of women lifters in our Discord community, as well as a few other like women lifters who I just will refrain from mentioning directly, kind of pointed out that the video just seemed to have like a pretty like derogatory tone, I think. And the biggest thing for me was like, whatever, the cantaloupe sized balls thing is like, whatever. I don't know. Like that to me doesn't scream of like, I hate women. I mean, it's a dumb thing to be like, yeah, balls strong. But the big thing at the end was he said like, don't, if you're weak, don't blame RPE, blame your enlarged ovarian condition or something. And that to me really kind of tied it together and made it put into context the earlier comments he had made about balls equal strong. When he said like ovaries equal weak, like you're just being a woman. And like, it just like that kind of thing just really triggered me. And I've seen some of Rip's like just his personal politics, like really, really infused in a lot of the coaching and training advice he's giving. And he and I very much disagree on politics and social issues and things like that. So that also, I think really, like I'm a pretty emotional guy and that got me pretty fired up when I went to his like about page and it was this giant diatribe of how his personal politics are somehow relevant to his strength training philosophy. He actually, so just, you can cut this out later if you want, but one of the things that really got me pissed off was that he said, we don't believe in big government and we don't believe in social safety nets for those of us who choose in italics not to complete life's heavy sets of five. Jesus. And I was just like, that was the most painful thing I had ever. I just like reached immediately for the eye bleach and just like, oh man.
Oh, dude.
And just the fact that like he needs to sort of instill that, whatever those values that he might have into the information that he gives out. Like, yes, I'm a person. I have made politically charged statements and probably will again, but by no means is my like coaching philosophy colored by that. And when I send coaching advice, I'm not like, whatever, I'm not going to get into my personal politics, but
no, I'm not
using that to inform my coaching philosophy. I'm able to kind of realize that those things are separate, and my coaching clients and the people who consume my content are there for this purpose. And if I need to, I will make a statement like the one that I, you know, the two sentences that I put in there in the RIP video that everybody seemed to focus on, where I called him out for some anti-intellectual take on COVID, where he was like, yeah, living in New York is a death sentence for stupidity, which, like, I don't even know what that means, but it just sounds dumb. And then the whole misogyny thing. And like, that was probably 50% of the comments was like completely disregarding the like 7 points I laid out as to where his argument logically went wrong in terms of its misinterpretation and misrepresentation of RPE. But like those two sentences with that little bit of like political charge to them, that very much seemed to overshadow a lot of the rest of the message. And I don't know.
I think it was kind of going off
on a tangent here, but
for me, man, it was super interesting to see that though, to see the, you know, you're normally on your social media presence, you're normally kind of very, very polished and very, very kind of net neutral and very, like, warm, but like kind of helpful, matter of fact kind of thing, talking about your experiences, relatively low levels of emotion. Whereas that, it was kind of like, you could tell you need to get off your chest, which is kind of like having the experience that I had in the last couple of days, I thought was going to kind of be a really good opportunity for us today to kind of tie it all together. Because I think it's one of those things that, like, to kind of go full circle, like philosophically, the one great thing that I think attracts a lot of people to, like, iron sports, generally speaking, is like everything else kind of doesn't matter because the barbell is the same every time that you go to lift it, right? And I think it's one of those things that it's like, don't try and like take away from that by, you know, just because you don't understand something or whatever doesn't make it impossible. And it's the same for, you know, like within the competitive structures of powerlifting, you can compete in whatever your like gender is, whatever your like weight class is, age class, etc. Like, it is massively inclusive. So like the fact that you're trying to be divisive within a sport that is like made itself entirely possible to be as inclusive as possible, I kind of get riled up with stuff like that. And I know that Samuel, me and you have had some experiences with people making other people uncomfortable at powerlifting meets, and I just think like it's not cool. Like, everyone's here because they're trying to have a good time and they're doing something that they love. Like, why would you try to take away from that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it very much like the idea that we as strength coaches and as qualified professionals would be saying something like derogatory about an entire group of people for no reason other than like having been born a woman. It just like went, it just flew in the face of basically what I've been trying to do for the past 6 years with Calgary Barbell, which is to try to educate and open doors and try to like get people the understanding that I wish I had when I thought about getting into powerlifting or when I first started powerlifting. And that's very, very much at the core of Calgary Barbell and of my, like, I don't know, mission within the powerlifting sphere, is to try to just like bring as many people into this as possible and show people what this sport is about and try to share with people what it's done for me, because I think it can and has done the same for many, many people. So when I see messages like that and I watch it and I'm like, you know what, if I was not me, I might watch this and be like, fuck powerlifting, these guys are dicks. And like, that to me is like, okay, big, huge red flag. Like, I needed to say something.
Yeah. I think we should be trying to create inclusion criteria, right? Rather than dismiss groups of people. And I think that's one thing that's probably pretty prevalent throughout all three of our careers, is like, we just want to see more barbells in more people's hands and like, let people have the cool experiences that we've had. And, you know, we've all met each other in person and we've all traveled around the world with this sport, and it's great. Like, I would generally speaking say, like, I've met more cool people through the sport of powerlifting than I would have done if I'd have chosen maybe another sport, or maybe I'd been in something, you know, in some other way.
100%.
You know, like,
and I think another reason it's really aggravating is because those things that you just mentioned were seemingly at the core of what Ripito was doing 10 years ago. Right? Like, that seems to be the mission statement behind starting strength. and behind, you know, that kind of thing. So why then turn around and just like espouse this, I don't know, garbage?
Yeah. Just, let's dismiss 50% of, you know, the world's population in in a 2-minute message. I don't understand it. And you know, frankly, from my experience as a coach, the people that seem to train and do the most wild stuff tend to be like, you know, tend to be the female lifters that are like, that are doing a lot of these things. You know, they're churning through those crazy heavy hard sets that like I wouldn't be able to survive similar, you know, sets and reps and whatever. So I mean, that kind of gets more into training science and stuff as well, but like I just think it's unfounded in the sport of powerlifting in particular. Like it just doesn't, you know, look, go on Open Powerlifting and have a little look at who the like the top three lifters are, you know.
Yeah
regardless. Or female.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
do you want to read them out?
I don't know. Let me pull this up. It is Mariana Gasparian, CC Ingram, and Steffi Cohen. And in fact, number 4 is Stacey Burr. Number 5 is Kirsty Hawkins. Number 6 is Chloe Van Wyk. And then 7 is Yuri Belkin, which is a bit of a shame, but there you go. Yeah. So I think all time, 8 of the top 10 are female.
It's crazy that Yuri Belkin can make weight with those cantaloupe-sized balls. I'm going to cut that out. What else do we want to talk about?
I just want Samuel to make more jokes and slam his fist.
Yeah, that's what the people are here for, Samuel.
Yeah.
How did you come across that video, by the way? Like
I said, I had a few lifters send it to me. A few people in the Discord mentioned it, and then I think Dylan watched it and sent it to our he and I have a private channel where we talk business and video ideas and stuff like that. And he sent it to me and was like, "You should maybe respond to this." And I watched it and just like my blood.
I can see it so vividly. Yeah. Like you just kind of pulling on your chin, like
coming out of my ears. Little red lines started creeping up towards my forehead, and
oh man. I mean, I think it's one important thing to like. You both made a good point of like. Well, we've made a few good points in this episode in terms of like if this had happened to somebody else, or if somebody had chosen to act differently at a certain crossroads when they faced this sort of BS, like how the world could be so different. And I think if anyone's listening who's had a lot of bad experiences with this sort of thing, like in my experience, and I don't want to be reductionist about this being an issue, but in my experience from what I've seen in the, you know, as much as like a male in my position can have seen it, like I don't see it being that prominent in my world, obviously not. And I do have a fair few female clients, and like I've worked within the fitness industry for 10 years. I do think this, generally speaking, the tide is turning and getting better. However, I also do think that the internet is a terrible place for this sort of thing to happen. Yeah. You know, I think people are particularly guilty of hiding behind keyboards and saying things that they would never, ever say in real life, or behaviors, you know, acting in certain ways that they never would.
It's interesting. I'm gonna push slightly back on the whole the tide is turning statement.
Okay.
I'm talking more on this episode than I planned to, but like Bryce and I just now off air were talking about a book, Antisocial by Andrew Marantz, that both of us read, and I was thinking about it just now because one of the things that book does is it comes out pretty savagely against the whole adage of like the arc of history bends towards justice, and like things, you know, just through like social pressure are like getting better, you know. And when we say better, we are obviously meaning less like Mark Ripperto type shit. And the you know, one of the basic conclusions of that book is that that's not true. The arc of history bends whichever way it gets bent, you know, and actually don't like it's kind of lazy and almost a product of like male privilege to just be able to be like, this is getting better, isn't it, all on its own without any affirmative action from any, you know, bodies within this community, you know what I mean? So like I wouldn't say it's getting better. I would say I'd refine that to like people are making it better. People like this lifter that we talked about at the start of the episode who called Yuri Belkin out on her page and made all this noise happen around it to the point where we're talking about it. You know, like that kind of thing is actually what makes it better.
Do you think that like general participation in the sport of powerlifting and the fact that it's much becoming much, much more 50-50 or even like potentially participation is becoming like more and more female dominant within the sport of powerlifting that we participate in the IPF. Do you think that is going to help things generally speaking? Like, I mean, I know for a fact now, and there's definitely going to be some degree of echo chamber in the environments that I'm in. But if I compare myself to the gym environments that I was in 8 to 10 years ago compared to now, there are more women lifting barbells more often in my world, at least. I don't know if it's as similar for both of you, and obviously you're going to have similar experiences to me, but I think I do think that that's going to be a large, you know, if there are more people within the IPF hierarchy, if there are more women in powerlifting, generally speaking, do you think that means that there's more of a voice and this thing is likely less likely to happen?
I would just answer with, I hope so. Mm. I hope that that's the impact it has. And I hope that like, we don't end up with just a very vocal minority kind of running the conversation. And by vocal minority, I mean like if men are the minority in the sport, I'll just qualify that really quickly.
I think that's a great place to leave that conversation, Samuel. I think that's like, rounded it out really, really nicely. And I think that it's a shame that we've even had to have this conversation, but I also feel like with kind of like multiple relatively high profile instances going on, I kind of felt like we had to talk about it, you know, a bit like things that we've tried to address in the podcast before. As much as this isn't or hasn't been directly a powerlifting podcast, I think it's an issue that's worth at least talking about.
Yeah. Even if it powerlifting culture is powerlifting, right?
So it's a podcast about powerlifters, but not just about powerlifting. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about? Like at the end of this,
I did actually want to comment on one thing that Peach said about people kind of using the internet to act in a way that they would never act in real life or to say things they would never say in real life. I think a recent sort of realization that I've had is that like, the internet is real life, like especially right now, especially with it being probably the predominant way that we interact with even like our closest family members. Like the internet and your comments section and things like that, forums and discords, like that is real life. So if you are a dick on the internet, you are a dick. Like it's not a mutually exclusive thing where you can act like a piece of garbage on the internet and be like, oh no, I'm okay. It's just like, I just like trolling people. And actually Samuel, on the tune or to the tune of Antisocial by Andrew Marantz, I would recommend checking out a movie called Feels Good Man about the rise of the whole Pepe meme. The cartoon frog. So it's kind of the story of how the author initially drew it and then how it was sort of commandeered and used as a meme, which then devolved into actually being a registered hate symbol for a period of time because of how it was, you know, used by like alt-right white supremacist groups and stuff like that. But I feel like that documentary takes a look at a sort of, you know, by focusing on a smaller piece of that kind of narrative that Antisocial touches on, I think does a good job of illuminating more of the whole in terms of the social condition that, you know, creates this kind of just asking questions sort of mentality.
Just asking questions, bro.
Whether or not that's relevant to leave in the podcast or whether that's just a personal conversation. That's good.
I think dropping like, you know, citing our sources is actually like a good way to go with, especially with conversations like this one, you know, and also it gives people who are perhaps interested something that they can pick up, you know, latterly, if they were so moved by this conversation.
Bryce, plug away, man. Twitch, Calgary Barbell. Let's go.
So yeah, if you're interested, I am Bryce_CBB on Instagram. And you can also find me and my company, Calgary Barbell, everywhere that you might be looking for it. So we're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. I think we still have a Facebook page. If anybody uses Facebook, maybe just email us instead or go to our website, calgarybarbell.com. And we're also on Twitch live streaming a few days a week now. So come hang out.
And for context, anybody hasn't seen that YouTube video that's on Calgary Barbell's channel.
Yeah.
Going into Ripto. You can find the podcast at X1@8 on Instagram. The at, sadly, because Instagram doesn't let us at twice. It's spelt the letters A and T. You can find me at Peach Squats or coaching services at Battalion Barbell. Samuel, have you got anything to plug?
Yeah. No, just like if you're
you shocked online me last week.
I did, and you haven't recovered. But no, like, you know, if you're online and you're looking around and you see a female powerlifter and you're gonna correct her form without her asking you to, just, you know,
just don't.
Like, maybe just take your hands off the keyboard, take a deep breath, and go fuck yourself. I'm gonna take that. No, but like, just don't be a dick online, okay? Just don't do it. It's not like,
yeah.
Come on, guys. Yeah.